8 on Matt McCall for Congress.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in Shannon, it's the Joe Pag Show.
This is the Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, also Newsmax TV, the Joe Pags Show. Glad to be coming your way, either on your radio, in your living room, on your computer, on your device, on a Thursday. I'm feeling all right. Uh-huh. Say what? Well, I didn't get the falsetto on that one. I didn't even get up to the what on that one.
You sure did.
Seems I got to have.
So how's it going? What's happening?
Hey, it's all right. How are you?
Every night I have.
Although... you know, it's a good day to be alive, good day to be a human being, good day to be in America. So I am feeling all right, as I usually would, but of course, certainly a bit more somber today. It has been wall-to-wall in every news channel and every radio station everywhere on the school shooting in Florida, and we're certainly going to spend a lot of time doing that today, though. But let's take a bit of a reprieve and do a little feeling all right. Come on, everybody. Come on.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
You know, I think you got it in you, so why not do it? Give me some harmony.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right.
Exactly right.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
No. All right. That's kind of how we do. It's the Dave Mason tune, rearranged by Joe Cocker and his band, and then done here by Huey Lewis from the motion picture Duets, which was viewed by, I think, most women in America, and I think Polo saw it, which is interesting to me. So there you go. Polo, you did see that movie, right?
Yes, I did.
Are you kind of sad that you saw it, though? I mean, if you could go back and not see it, would you unsee it?
No. It was all right.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because it was Blythe. Wasn't it Blythe Danner and her daughter, Gwyneth Paltrow?
I didn't remember her mom being
Or was it
it
Gwyneth Paltrow's? I thought her mother was in it, too. And then Huey Lewis was actually in the movie.
Right.
Because he's known for his acting.
He was actually playing Gwyneth Paltrow's dad.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Or maybe she was directed by her dad. Her mom or dad were connected to the movie somehow. And I think it did $42 at the box office. Most of that coming from Polo. So,
no, I never saw it at the movies. I never saw it at the movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Now, I have not seen it. So are you suggesting I should somehow see that on the Netflix or something?
You might like it.
I'm a musical guy. I might like it, right? Wouldn't that suck? I've been making fun of you for 12 years on the 13 years about duets.
Yeah.
And I might actually like the movie.
I mean, it's about people singing karaoke, which is something you'd do every day. So,
I actually do. I do sing the karaoke a lot. All right. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot that I want to get to, and there are several angles of the school shooting story that I want to get to. And I'm just going to, fair warning here, we are going to have an interview with the director of the USCIS, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services Director. His name is Francis, and I think it's pronounced Cessna. Cessna. I think it's Cessna. And it's an interview I did a couple of days ago, but with a lot of the activity that's been going on, I let them know they're going to hold on to it for a couple of days, and then we'll talk about immigration, DACA, the border, and so on. And it's a very interesting conversation. Make sure you stick around for that. That'll be bottom of hour number two. We'll have Trump tweets later on in the program. And you know that we like to, on this program especially, entertain and have fun. I'm not going to talk about any specific talk show host, because I respect each and every one of them that's been very successful. And there are a lot of them. And we're working our faces off to find a modicum of success, even just a nugget of success, as compared to the so-called big guys. But I don't know that anybody else entertains like we do. I don't know that anybody else lets their hair down like we do, sings, you know, fart noises, whatever. And that's sort of the modus operandi. This is why the show does so well in so many different places. Those of you listening, and by the way, program directors, general managers, the bosses, Carrie, they hate when I say stuff like this. Mm-hmm. They hate when I talk on this level. Oh, he talks about himself. They don't like it. But you know who does? The listeners love it.
Yeah.
Because
sure
it's just us being real. I mean, Carrie and I will laugh. We'll get angry. You know, we'll be direct. You know, and we do all those things because we know that that's sort of real life for you. I think a lot of times hosts talk down to the audience. When you talk down to the audience, yeah, you sound like the smartest person, man, woman in the room, but at the same time, you also come off differently than just a regular person. We like the show to be for regular people, having a good time, laughing, maybe being sarcastic and enjoying life. It's hard to do that when you've got a story that is so dominating the consciousness of the country. When you got a story like what happened in Florida, in South Florida at that high school, And as you hear more details, and as you hear who the 17 people were, and as you hear about the hero coach that put himself in front of people that would otherwise have been shot, and who might have ended up being shot anyway because he was killed, it starts to really squeeze your heart and hurt your soul. And I'm going to say something else here, and I'm not talking about any specific talk show host, but I've heard hosts that will be overtly emotional. They'll cry, or they'll be angry, the vein popping out of their forehead. And again, I just want to say this again. Anything you see or hear on this program is not manufactured. This is what I would say to you if we are sitting at a restaurant or watching television or doing whatever. If we're talking about a topic and it makes me laugh, I'll laugh. If it makes me cry, well, I don't cry that often on the air. It's just not something that I do. I think I may have once or twice in my 30 years, but it wasn't because I planned it. If it makes me angry, I'll be angry. And that's sort of, I think, why people can relate to what we do here. I am very angry about what happened in South Florida. I grew up in South Florida. I lived in Palm Beach County from the time I was 7 years old until I was 28. So for 21 years, my formative years, I went to elementary school, middle school, and high school in Florida. I went to college in Florida. Love South Florida. And my mom still lives there. I've got sisters who still live there, brothers-in-law, and so on. It hurts me, not only because I've got a connection to South Florida, but it hurts me when you hear about Columbine or when you hear about Sandy Hook. I mean, it hurts me any time innocents are targeted and killed because they can't fight back. It bothers me greatly as a father. I've got five daughters. I can't even imagine for a second. And again, we had a situation where our daughter was in peril for 3 days, 2.5, 3 days, almost 2 years ago now. And I know how I felt then. And I didn't feel as though I could continue with life had something happened to her. I can't imagine, the angst, the anguish, the heartache that's being felt by the families of those who didn't come home yesterday. They went to school for Valentine's Day. They went to school to see the boy or girl they like. They went to school to go play in that sport that they play or in the band. They went to school to trade Valentine's with somebody. They went to school to see who gave me a flower today. They went to school to learn. They went to school to socialize with the people they liked the most. And 17 of them just never came home. It's hard to really put into words the way I know it's making us collectively feel. Now, it doesn't matter which side of the political aisle you're on. It doesn't matter, conservative, liberal. Doesn't matter. None of that. It just doesn't matter. I will bet you, if you're a liberal listening to me now and you know me to be a conservative, I will bet you that you and I will agree that what happened yesterday shouldn't have happened. I'm betting you and I would agree that we have to do something to make sure it doesn't happen ever again. You and I will agree that in probably 3 or 4 days, because the news cycle the way that it is, we won't be talking about this much anymore until the next school shooting. And then we'll once again say the anguish, the heartache, the pain. And we all agree we should do something. So why don't we actually do something? And actually, I was listening to Fox News Channel in the car earlier, and Shepard Smith said that we should get the brightest and smartest and do something. And he's pounding the desk. He's like, I'm angry about this. And all I could think to myself was, well, Shep, what are you offering up here? What are you offering up as the solution? And he might say, well, I'm a journalist. I don't offer solutions. I just report the news, which is a lie. Shepard Smith has been a commentary editorial journalist for a long time now on Fox News Channel. It is 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever the hell time it comes on. And he has all sorts of solutions. I remember him yelling about we don't effing torture people because that was his opinion and he was putting it out there. Then put it out there. One thing that I find to be starkly disgusting in the conversation is this sort of droning on by many people who are on the progressive left in this country about save your thoughts and prayers. Stop saying your thoughts and prayers and do something. Thoughts and prayers don't do anything. Do something. Carrie, you heard that a lot, right? People are saying don't say thoughts and prayers anymore.
Yeah, I've seen a lot on social media.
So this is what's real. And tell me if you see this too. And Paulo and Karina, I want to hear from you too. Sam, I want to hear from everybody. When you go to your social media every day, is it just me that finds that every day somebody on my friends list wants me to pray for them?
Yeah, no, it's not
every
just
day,
you.
Somebody's saying,
yeah. It's true.
Hey, can you send me some prayers?
Yes.
Hey, can you send my brother-in-law prayers? Can you send my daughter, my son, my uncle prayers? Hey, I could really use a prayer. My dog isn't feeling well today. I mean, we're all seeing that, right?
Yes.
Polo, you said yes. Karina, you're seeing that, aren't you? Sam, you're seeing that, aren't you?
Oh, every single day.
Yeah, I mean, and I've said it. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if you, when you hit your knees tonight, if you wouldn't throw in a quick prayer for this, that, the other person. And I'm not denigrating people who do that. What I'm saying is prayer is powerful. What I'm saying is prayer still means a lot to a lot of people. What I'm saying is prayer really does heal and show a congealed community, either an American community or a South Florida community or whatever community. It really does show that we're in this together. It does show that we agree this was bad. And let's pray as hard as we can to whatever God it is that we pray to. And hopefully, maybe the prayers get answered, because prayers do get answered. Maybe the prayers will be answered as to how to fix this, as to how this can be avoided next time, as to how we can minimize a bad guy's intentions, how we can identify bad people, how we can make sure they don't get their hands on weapons that can kill a human. But instead, in this Judeo-Christian society in which we live, where it's over 90% believe in something, and I think it's 75 or 80% are still Christian in this country. Instead, we've got people who otherwise believe in something telling us to stop sending prayers. Stop praying. I would guess it's the same ilk that said, get the Bible out of school. Back in the 1950s. You know, and you could look directly at that and say to yourself, well, here we are 60 years later. Did that help? Getting the Bible out of school, at least teaching about the Bible, teaching about our Judeo-Christian values, did that somehow help our society? Are we better today than we were spiritually as a country in 1958? I don't think we are. Are we better on some social levels? Absolutely. Are we better on equal opportunity? Damn straight. Are we better on equality? Yes. But are we better on a values, morals, spiritual sense? I don't think so. I think we're a lot worse off. There are people saying there have been 18 school shootings just this year since January 1. There are people saying there have been 300 since Columbine. The truth is there have been 25. And it's disgusting. There shouldn't have been one. There shouldn't have been a Columbine. But stop falling for the rancor, for the arguments, for the late night talk show hosts feigning like they care as they're being protected by armed guards. Don't do that. What we need to do is, yes, put our prayers together collectively, and through that, let's really hash this thing out. Let's really figure out what's going to work. Let's really figure out where we are as a society and what we're willing to do to stop a piece of garbage devil on earth, to stop evil from taking innocent lives. What are we willing to do? 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. We come back. Carrie will have a full wrap of where we are today on the story of the school shooting in South Florida. And we'll get into your phone calls as well. Plus, I'm going to go over some of the things that I posted last night on Facebook, what I find to be reasonable and unreasonable. And in this society, in this day and age, for some reason, unreasonable is getting the highlight and being reasonable is out the window. I think we should stop doing that. Joe Pags Show, coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
100.
WOAI is an iHeart radio station.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. Some hijinks on Facebook. I guess they've added some sort of a review section or something. People can go and review you now. And my listeners all went there and they reviewed, and I'm getting 5 out of 5 stars, and it's great. Suddenly I see the stars going down, and I'm looking at it, and people are idiots. If they've never heard the show, never seen the show, they still think they can call you a racist or call you a fill-in-the-blankist and give you a 1. And I guess you can go to the website, you can go to Facebook, and I guess make the reviews and the ratings worse. And that somehow makes people sleep better at night, which I find to be weird. In fact, there was one guy who was on there who actually, I ended up calling him a racist because of his ridiculous opinion about the painter of Obama's portrait. He now wants to meet me face-to-face in Houston so I can look him in the eye and call him a racist, because that's he's going to beat me up, I guess. Carrie's going to beat my butt.
Okay, yeah.
Right, and that's the kind of mentality you deal on social media. Social media, and we talk about this a lot, when you post something and you get positive response, you get a hit of dopamine in your head. And it really is like a drug. Even the founders of Facebook knew this and didn't do anything about it. That's why it probably should be looked into by the government, because just like with nicotine and cigarettes, they didn't tell us about it. And then suddenly there's a bunch of nicotine and cigarettes getting you hooked on their product. So there is a hit of dopamine. So it's not easy for me, but I try my best to disconnect. The past 24 hours, I've got to be honest, I haven't done a really good job disconnecting. Carrie, I fell off the wagon.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on. So you want to...
Well, there is. And I want, well, I want people to be reasonable. Yeah. Well, I mean, I make the mistake of thinking people are reasonable on social media. It turns out they're not.
No, they're not. No.
Did you see the post I posted about reasonable and unreasonable?
I did not. I haven't seen that.
Yeah. You know, I should stop asking you this stuff because I have to realize you don't stalk my page the way you should.
I know. I need to get better at doing that stalking thing. I'll try.
Well, I mean,
I'll try.
You know, I'm going to talk about it on the air. It would be nice for you to have a.
Well,
some sort
I didn't
of,
know. Okay, I will go and check
perfunctory
your page.
Knowledge of what I'm talking
All
about.
All right, I'll go.
All right,
and check
if you can, in the meantime, let's give people the update on the Florida shooting. Mm-hmm. Let's give them the nuts and bolts, the very latest that we know about everything involved, and then I'll get into what's reasonable, what's not reasonable, and I want to hear some real ideas. On what we do now. Go ahead.
This is from the Palm Beach Post. The 19-year-old accused of going on a shooting rampage at a Parkland high school on Valentine's Day legally purchased the A15 rifle a year ago at a Broward County gun dealer, law enforcement officials said. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel said he bought the weapon at a dealer called Sunrise Tactical in Coral Springs. In an afternoon press conference, Israel said he fired into five classrooms before dropping the assault rifle on the building's third floor and fleeing the school on foot. He then went to a nearby Subway located in a Walmart where he purchased a drink. He also stopped at a McDonald's where he sat down for a short time before leaving on foot, Israel said. Law enforcement officials have interviewed over 2,000 people about Wednesday's shooting, Israel said. According to court records released Thursday, an Uber driver drove him to the school. A witness saw the suspect and recognized he was a troubled student, according to the document charging him with 17 counts of premeditated murder. He was wearing black pants, a black hat, and a burgundy shirt. He carried a duffel bag and wore a black backpack. At the minute the witness heard gunshots, a code red was called, the report said. The suspect told police that he was that gunman. Students fled. Crew said he thought up a plan to discard the AR-15 rifle and the extra magazines he had in his backpack so he could slip out with the other students. Police found them where the suspect said they'd be. He remained in jail Thursday. A judge denied bond for the former high school student. He's been placed on a suicide watch. The suspect, who is slight and skinny, looked down the entire time he was before the judge. You are charged with some very serious crimes, Judge Kim Teresa Mollica told him. His lawyer, assistant public defender Melissa McNeil, stood next to him with her hand on his shoulder, invoking his right to remain silent. In an emotional news conference outside the courtroom, McNeil said that he is deeply sad and that the death of his mother was the breaking point. He is a broken human being. He is a broken child.
So they're gonna play the child card. He's a broken, horrible, oh, what a tough life he had. So
apparently,
killing 17 makes sense. Listen, there has to be a defense for anybody who does a crime or is accused of doing a crime in this country, although what you just said is he admitted it. I get that. But, man, I can never be that defense attorney. I can never be the defense attorney for the person who admits that he did this. I don't have sympathy for him. Maybe I'm not Christian enough. Maybe I'm not a good enough person. I don't have sympathy for him. And I would like for the remainder of his life, whatever it is, to be horrific. He needs to be made an example of. When we come back, I'll talk about what's reasonable, what's not reasonable, and I'll take a lot of your phone calls. A lot of people want to be heard. A lot of very, very high emotions on this case, and for good reason. Keep it here. Joe Pags coming back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
WOAI.
Hey, great to have you. Wonderful radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Also Newsmax TV, 1 hour away from the director of the USCIS, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. His name is Francis Cisna. Pretty sure it's Cisna. Interviewed him a couple of days ago. Very good information on DACA, on the wall, what that looks like. What do we do with the illegals that are here? What do we do with these DACA people? By the way, Carrie, did you see that Senator Ted Cruz is opposing the president and Cornyn and others on giving amnesty to these 1.8 million?
I did see that, as a matter of fact.
Cruz ain't playing. Now, we're working on getting him on next week, I should say. And, what do you do now?
I know.
It's like Rand Paul was going to hold up the process on the budget, and for good reason. I mean, he explained it yesterday. You're looking at Cruz might be able to hold up the process on the DACA fix. So that's going to be an interesting thing. And I don't know if he would be okay with the 660,000 that have signed up for DACA. Because, again, the president is trying to give leeway to people who should be eligible for DACA but have not taken advantage. That's why he comes up with 1.8 million. But as we know, hashtag Cruz don't play. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Senator Ted Cruz. I wrote a blog last night. I oftentimes will jump on Facebook even late at night or even early in the morning. Well, for me, Carrie, late at night and early in the morning, pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'll many times do that because I'll get the urge. Something will hit me, and I'll go, you know, I need to talk about this. And I'll do a Facebook Live, and, you know, again, it's this dopamine thing. If 300 or 400 or 500 people jump on, you're like, wow, really reaching a lot of people. When really, in essence, that's not a lot of people. I appreciate you guys coming on, but I think it's more effective to write something down that people can go back to, you know, a day later, 2 days later, 3 days later, and make a comment on. I posted this 18 hours ago, and it's been seen by about 16,000 people so far. If you don't know how to see my posts on Facebook, just go to Facebook.com/Joe Talk Show, Facebook.com/Joe Talk Show, and like the page. And as you float with your mouse, if you're on a computer over the like, you can also click on See First for notifications. Facebook will purposely leave shows like mine or pages like mine, which are right-leaning or conservative, out of your news feed, because that's just sort of how they play. But if you say See First, you'll see it. I wanted to make sure that we talked about what's reasonable and what's not reasonable. And it just dawned on me that people want to immediately have some sort of a weird dog whistle argument about get rid of the assault rifles. First of all, there really isn't anything called an assault rifle. That's a made-up term, mainly by the media, although it's been in the public square for a long time and in the vernacular for a long time. People assume when you hear AR-15 or AR-15 that you mean assault rifle 15. It's not what it means. AR is from the Armalite company that first made the rifle. AR doesn't stand for assault rifle. And again, I'm just going to give you some facts here. And this is not to denigrate the disgusting effect of what this piece of garbage did yesterday. I just want you to at least have the knowledge. You can be on the left. Just don't fall prey to the talking points on the left. Be on the right. Don't fall prey to the talking points on the right. What I want you to do is have real information, then decide where you want to be. So AR stands for Armalite, Armalite 15. Other companies make a similar rifle now, but the AR never meant assault rifle. Assault style rifle, that doesn't mean anything either. That's just a media term to make it sound like it's something that it may or may not be. Automatic rifle, it's not an automatic rifle. It's actually a semi-automatic rifle. The difference is, in a semi-automatic, you have to pull the trigger every time you want one bullet to come out. It doesn't make it less deadly necessarily. It just should be described correctly. Automatic means you pull the trigger once and all the bullets come out. There's a major difference there. Long gun, that is the proper description of a rifle, of an AR-15, of an AK-47, of things like that. I saw many people last night calling them human hunting rifles, which is ridiculous. I've got an AR-15. It's never shot anybody. Doesn't hunt humans. When you talk about the availability of that gun being the reason why things like this happen, that's unreasonable. And when you blame, like, the NRA, again, I've never understood this. The NRA does not give me any money. I'm not a politician. They don't lobby me. The NRA does not call me asking to come on the show, although I've had representatives of the NRA on, because in situations that present themselves in the news every day, the NRA, getting the NRA makes sense. The National Rifle Association is not an association that exists so people can kill other people. It's not an association that has ever had a member do one of these mass shootings. Yet for some reason, the Jimmy Kimmels of the world and the people on the left, the Chelsea Handlers, all want to say the NRA has blood on their hands. This organization, as far as I can tell, is an organization that exists to ensure the Second Amendment stays right where it needs to be. And the Second Amendment, whether you like it or not, is in place to protect the other amendments. It's in place not to hunt. So a lot of people last night talking about, oh, because you have to have something for your hobby, people are dead. No. Second Amendment has nothing to do with hunting. Second Amendment is about stopping tyranny. If you go through the tyrannical regimes that killed millions of their own people over the centuries, you will always find out the first thing they did was disarm the citizenry. This country was founded by people who said we can never let that happen again. Because as the British were fighting and trying to keep the settlers in order, they would go door to door, house to house, walk in, take any weapon you had. You had no rights. Well, the founders said, we're going to make sure that can't happen in our new land. We want to make sure that the citizenry can rise up and stop any tyrannical government from ever taking hold. That's what it's for. It's not for hunting or target practice. Those of you who think it is are wrong. And in fact, it's unreasonable to not know that. Let me just go through some of what I find reasonable and unreasonable. Again, you can go to joepags.com, click on Facebook, you'll go right to my page, scroll down. This is from 18 hours ago. You'll see what I wrote last night. Blaming an organization founded to protect our Second Amendment rights for a heinous crime is unreasonable, as I just explained. Blaming a tool or piece of machinery for said crime is unreasonable. Parents and children getting ready for school, having an absolute expectation they'll make it home safely afterwards, is reasonable. With the propensity for evil on earth to target our children, teachers, schools, expecting all schools to be funded with our tax dollars to have the ability to stop a killer is reasonable. There's nothing unreasonable about having the expectation a good guy will be there to stop the bad guy. Because pretending like we can get rid of the bad guys on earth is unreasonable. Just check history. There are always bad amongst us. Thankfully, the vast majority are good. Realizing the worst school massacre in our history happened in Bath Township, Michigan in 1927 and was done with explosives and fire is reasonable. There wasn't an assault-style weapon used, or an AR-15. Knowing this and understanding that it's not the mode of the murders, but rather stopping the person who wants to do the killing, is reasonable. Making heinous crimes like this about creating new laws and controls on good people is unreasonable. Understanding it's already against the law to bring a firearm to a school in Florida and anywhere else, and to shoot innocent people with it is reasonable. You have to have the knowledge that what this guy did was against the law. He didn't care. So new laws wouldn't have affected him. The fact leading you to have the knowledge that bad people with bad intentions don't follow laws is reasonable. I've never taken a dime from the NRA, so the argument that people who feel as I do are somehow bought off is unreasonable. Knowing mass shootings don't happen at police stations because everyone there is able to fight back is reasonable. Not applying the same process to where our children go for 7 to 10 hours a day is unreasonable. And allowing schools to teach, feed, and care for our children all day, but not give them the ability to protect them if a disgusting killer shows up, is unreasonable. Now, everything that I just said is fair, reasonable, logical, and filled with common sense. There's nothing I just said that is even arguable. Everything I just laid out is extremely factual. Yet there are people watching, listening, or tweeting, or Facebooking who want to argue that, who want to argue what I just said. Also, did you know this, Carrie? There is legislation right now in Florida about allowing teachers to carry concealed weapons on campus in Florida.
I did not know that. I didn't.
It is Senate Bill 1236. I'm going to tell people watching and listening what SB 1236 is in Florida when we come back. And yeah, I've been laying out the plan for the show for a good 45 minutes now. But I will have plenty of time, and as you know, I take more phone calls than just about anybody else. We'll have plenty of time for your phone calls, plenty of time for your thoughts. And I will debate you, and I want it to be a reasonable debate. If you're going to be unreasonable, it's not going to go well for you. But if you've got reasonable answers, and it's not, the answer isn't allowing good guys to stop the bad guys, I'm all ears. I just want what you want. I don't want any more kids to go to school and die. I don't want any more teachers to go to school and die a hero in the hallways or in a classroom of a school that we paid for with our tax dollars. We should have a reasonable expectation that the people who go to either teach or be the janitor or be students or dole out lunch in the cafeteria, we should have a reasonable expectation that they'll be safe and can come home to their families at night. I don't think we're asking too much. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Glad to have you along for the ride. Phone calls in a second. Let me tell you about nitric oxide. Have you looked it up since I've been telling you about it? Nitric oxide is one of the most important molecules in your body. It promotes healthy circulation, which gets the oxygen and nutrients flowing throughout the body. It also helps support healthy blood pressure, which is really, really important, right? You can help your body produce nitric oxide naturally by drinking Super Beets. Only Super Beets is made from the beets grown to exacting standards. And listen, I don't like the taste of beets, but I take Super Beets every morning. They've made the taste very, very good, and you're getting such great health out of it, okay? Only Super Beets is made, as I said, and grown to exacting standards, and the nutrients are concentrated in a way that makes them usable to the body to create nitric oxide safely and naturally. Get a hold of them right now, 1-800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Super Beets free, plus indicator strips to see how Super Beets is working for you, and also free shipping. 800-516-8389 or go online, joelovesbeats.com. I appreciate you doing that. All right, let me go to the phone lines. A lot of people want to be heard on the school shooting. And listen, I'm all ears. I'm not looking to yell or scream at anybody. I'm looking to really hear some solutions. And if you get, Carib is going to tell them, if they get into talking points, I'm going to call them out on it.
Okay.
And then we're going to get back on track and try to fix this. All right, here we go. Let me say hello and welcome to line three. Is going to be Bill in Michigan. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Bill.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Bill. You're on the air. Let's go.
Okay. One thing I wanted to say is these gun control people always blame the gun. They don't blame the shooter. If we're going to blame the gun, then the fellow that ran into the people with the truck wasn't guilty. It was the truck that did the killing. In which case, like you said, the teachers should all be able to carry firearms. If they already have a concealed permit, then they can carry a firearm and protect the students. The students right now are sitting ducks because the criminal knows they're not going to have a way to protect them. And another fellow, he says, this only happens in the United States. Well, that's not true. It happened in Paris, France also. Controlling the guns and making more laws is not going to do nothing because the criminal ain't going to follow the laws. And the another thing is the Second Amendment says our rights should not be infringed. I think everybody is forgetting about that.
Well, they're already infringed, Bill. Very good call. They're already infringed. There are lots of laws out there regulating guns and ammunition, what you do and who can have them, who can do this. So there is regulation there and there is infringement there. But I think that many in America would accept that. What we won't accept is, as you said, our kids being sitting ducks. And you're right. If there are people out there saying this only happens here, I urge you to look into the attacks that happen in France and Brussels and Turkey and Iraq every day. This happens all over the world. It just isn't done with a specific type of killing apparatus that's used here. It doesn't make it any better. I don't want, hey, we're better because we use guns. No, it's nothing like that. What I'm saying is bad people want to kill good people no matter where they are for fill-in-the-blank reasons. And I frankly don't care about the reasons. I mean, somebody yesterday was like, change their heart, change their spirit. Okay, I would like people to be raised with good values, a good heart, and a good sense of spirituality. I agree with all of that. When they have a gun in their hands and they're about to shoot you, I would rather at that moment, instead of preaching to them, I'd rather shoot them first. I just think that it's common sense. And I think that it is reasonable. Bubba's calling in. He says he's in Parkland, Florida. Hi, Bubba. What's going on?
How you doing, Joe? Thanks for taking the call. And, you know, I heard you before.
Are you right there in the community?
I do. I do. My
okay,
my
talk
son,
to me.
My 17 years old. He does go to Stone Douglas. And, you know, I heard you talking about prayer. And we need your prayers over here.
Bubba, we're being told not to send you guys prayers. That's nothing. We shouldn't be sending prayers. We have to do gun control laws.
Well, that's why I called you, because you do the right thing. And I know you're going to send prayers. So,
absolutely, and everybody listening and watching will as well. Talk to me about your community. How is your child today?
You know, it's a sensitive thing. We lost a good friend of ours during this. Mm. We had another that was injured. So it's tough, especially for a 17-year-old that is going through, doesn't really understand 100% of why things are happening in the world the way that they are. But I don't think that, you know, the world we live in today, as far as gun control and everything, there's no way to ever put it under wraps, as far as I can see.
Right.
There's just too many guns out there. But what we can do is, and the world we live in today, we have to now protect our children. We have to move the way that society is moving. Things aren't the way that they were in the 30s. Al Capone was still doing his thing. But at the same time, we have to move with what's going on. We have to protect our children, because
Hey, Bubba, I wonder if you have an answer to this, because I read today that there is a resource officer on campus. It's an armed guard, in fact, but the armed guard never made contact whatsoever with the shooter. Do you know the details on that? Is this armed guard in one place in the school? And with the 3,200 students, it's an enormous school and an enormous student body. I don't know how one officer could do the job, but what do you know about that?
There is on campus, and he does have a golf cart that he goes around, or he walks. But you have to understand that this is not your typical high school. And the reason that I say that is we have like 3,200 students at the school.
It's crazy.
It's basically, if you were to see this school, it is a small university. And we're a small town, Joe. I think we're 7 miles square, if that. And, you know, you try to prepare for these things as our teachers here did. As you have already said, our teachers sacrificed their life for our kids.
What really sucks, Bubba, is I have to run here because they're on a hard break. Thank you so much for calling in. Sending prayers. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag.
DuckCleaners.com and save.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
The Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Yes, indeed. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that more right there. Also, Newsmax TV. The Joe Pag Show coming to you on a Thursday. I don't think I'll do the singing one this hour. Get a lot of people want to talk about a very serious topic. We are still feeling all right for being in America and for making it to Thursday, almost Friday. Weekend's almost here.
Seems I got to have a change in scene.
Grand Funk Railroad.
Because every night I have the strangest dream.
Indeed.
By the way things used to be.
I have that bill. It's SB 1236 out of Florida. That would allow concealed carry by teachers, faculty members. It was actually brought up today. All right, let's go. That's Carrie Lockie, my news anchor. And general great gal.
Wow.
Why are you surprised by that?
Because usually I'm a pain in your rear.
Well, you said it best.
Great gal.
What? Okay. Well, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. I'll get into what 1236 says. Florida Senate Bill 1236 about concealed carry inside of schools. We had a call from Bubba, says he lives in Parkland. I have no reason to not believe him. Says that he wants there to be more protection for kids like his own son that goes to that very high school. And, again, the story we're hearing is that there is a resource officer there that's armed. He says he rides around in a golf cart. And I don't know how you cover a school that can house 3,200 kids with one person without blaming that person. I'm also certainly not blaming, you know, a hero whose name has come to the fore. Kerry, what is the coach's name, the assistant coach?
This is Aaron Feiss. He was an assistant football coach and a security guard at the school.
So Aaron Feiss, the story goes, put his body between the gun-wielding bad guy and innocent students that right. would otherwise have been killed. And he died because of it. What he did was heroic. What he did was something that many of us would never fathom doing. What he did was something he didn't plan on doing yesterday morning. You know, who knows? Maybe he had plans for Valentine's Day. Maybe he was looking to, you know, do some extra training with some of the football players. Here's a guy that put himself between the bad guy and the innocent students. And he reminds me of the Holocaust survivor that was a professor at a university at Virginia Tech when the Virginia Tech massacre happened. 32 innocent people died. The man made it through the Holocaust, died while putting his body against the door to stop the shooter from coming in. Think about that. Now, I don't know what the man's thoughts were on guns or gun control or the Second Amendment back at Virginia Tech. I don't know what Aaron Feiss's thoughts were on guns or gun control. That's not what's pertinent here. What's pertinent is you trust a man to train your kids. You trust a man to be a security guard. You trust a man who has proven himself to be the hero he was in life by dying while trying to protect students. But you don't trust him to be able to do something other than putting his body between them. Because a man who's willing to put his body in front of your son or daughter to save their lives potentially is also a man who's willing to take out the bad guy if he can. Not a talking point. It's reasonable. It's reasonable to think that a guy that we could trust, and we now know that we could trust him with our kids' lives, he would rather die than see them die. We now know that we could have trusted him to do something else. Not political. Not a talking point. SB 1236 in the state of Florida. It's, if you want Newsmax, I'll let you guys see that as I read it. And this way the people at home can see what I'm talking about. I pulled this up online at flsenate.gov. This is the official website of the Senate in the state of Florida. Okay? SB 1236, School Safety. General Bill by Baxley. Co-introducers, looks like Stube, could be Stube or Staub. I'm not sure. S-T-E-U-B-E. These are state senators in Florida. School safety, providing an exception to or prohibition on possessing firearms or other specified devices on school property or other specified areas for authorized concealed weapon or firearm licensees who are designated by school principals or district school superintendents, requiring district school boards to formulate and prescribe policies and procedures for active shooter and hostage situations, requiring a district school superintendent to provide all specified agencies with certain strategy and activity recommendations to improve school safety and security, etc. It would take effect if passed on July 1st of this year. The last action was today. They took it up in the Senate on committee agenda. They moved it, and probably because of what just happened yesterday, they moved it to the Judiciary Committee to February 20th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 110 Senate Office Building. This, of course, would be in Tallahassee. So this is a bill. I looked at it. It's been bandying about since last year, and they're getting down to the nitty-gritty and possibly going to do something with it. How is that unreasonable? The principal has to okay it. Superintendent has to okay it. They have to be firearm licensees and authorized to carry a concealed weapon. How is this unreasonable? It sounds reasonable to me. Now, somebody on Twitter said that it stalled, but from this is from the Senate in Florida. From this, it appears as though it's not stalled. It's going to be brought up again 5 days from now in the Judiciary Committee, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. My mother lives in Florida. My law enforcement brother-in-law lives in Florida with my sister. Another sister lives in Florida with her husband. I'm going to make sure they call their state senator. I'm going to make sure their voices are heard. I'm going to make sure that they do the right thing by contacting those who are supposed to represent them in Tallahassee. And I would urge anybody listening in St. Augustine or Panama City or Pensacola or West Palm Beach, Broward and Dade, we're on all over the state of Florida. And those of you watching me on television right now, I urge you to contact your state senator or the state senate and tell them it's reasonable for students, teachers, janitors, cafeteria workers to be safe and secure while at school. And this is a good first step to making sure that happens. Now, if you think that's unreasonable, what I'm saying, or what they're suggesting in the Florida Senate, I'm listening. I just don't follow. I don't get where you're coming from. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to Ray, who's in Baltimore. Ray, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How are you today?
Living the dream, my friend. Talk to me.
Okay, you said people ought to be reasonable, okay? Let's put this as a reasonable offer, okay, on the table.
Yes.
You own an automobile that you have to register with the state and pay for license and everything, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Okay, you own a gun, do the same thing. You register it, you pay to own it, you pay to have it. Then let's talk about being reasonable.
Because, well, I'm not sure I understand. How does that change anything? Because this guy bought this gun legally.
What does it change? It's because of this.
Yeah.
Everybody that owns a gun will be known to everybody else.
Do you know why that's a problem, Ray? I want you to really think.
It's not a problem.
Why would Ray?
Because
Ray,
you're not being reasonable.
If you want to yell at me, not going to work. You said you wanted to put it on the table. You wanted to be reasonable. I'm going to respond to what you said. And what you said sounds reasonable. I'm going to ask you a reasonable question as I give you an answer, okay?
Go ahead.
Why do you think the founding fathers would be Ray, you're not listening. Stop for a second. Why do you think the founding fathers would be against registering our guns with the government? Go.
Well, because look, this was when there was supposed to be a militia. There's nothing in there that says that you cannot register a gun. Look, this is reasonableness.
Ray, I answered you reasonably, and I asked you a reasonable question. You gave me a non-answer. You talked about a militia. No, answer, Ray, let's have the discussion. Answer my question as I posed it. Why do you think the founding fathers would be against registering guns with the government? Go.
They wouldn't be against registering guns to the government because it's a reasonable offer.
Okay, you're wrong, and I'm going to now I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Yes, you are. I'm going to tell you how. You're wrong because the intention of the Second Amendment was to make sure that people like Ray and Joe could protect themselves, their families, and their stuff from government taking it all. You're not listening. Ray, you're not listening to me, and you're not being reasonable. What you're giving me is a talking point, and I want you to stop talking so I can answer you. I listened to what you said. I understand completely what you're suggesting, and I understand why you think it's reasonable. I'm answering you in the best way I can by saying the Founding Fathers would not want the government, who the Second Amendment is supposed to be protecting us against, to know everybody who had guns. Because if the government knew everybody who had guns, Ray, and a tyrant took over, what could they then do?
Well, listen to me. You were
no, answer the question. Answer the question. What could the tyrant then do? What could Hitler do if he knows who has the guns?
What century are you talking about?
Okay, so Hitler, that was 70 years ago. That suddenly never happened?
It never will happen. In this country.
Ray, I love you like a brother, but you're being unreasonable, and you have a good day. Listen, I want to have the debate. I want to have the discussion. If you're going to be unreasonable, I'm not going to listen. I think that his offer was real. Here it is. It's on the table. And Ray, I love your accent, by the way. So here it is. Boom. Here's what you do. You register all the guns. You license the guns. You this, that, and the other. The reason why the Founding Fathers would be against it, and I'll say it again, is the intention behind the Second Amendment isn't hunting. It isn't target practice. It isn't shooting on the weekend, trying to shoot clay out of the air with your shotgun. The intention of the Second Amendment is to protect the people from an overwieldy, tyrannical government. When Hitler took over Germany, one of the first things they did was take over the media and take the guns away from the people. Give us your guns. We'll keep you safe. We got you. How'd that work out? So it is unreasonable to say a government agency should know every person who has a gun and where they all are, because that gives them the wherewithal to take them all. And that's a problem if you're trying to keep a tyrannical government in check. I know that's reasonable because it's fact. And I know that Ray knows that it's reasonable, but he wanted to win. And it's okay. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
WOAI is an iHeart radio station.
All right, glad to have you, the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. We appreciate you. Lots going on, and people do want to be reasonable about this, because, again, we do agree that we want some solutions. By the way, we will stop the talk about the school shooting for a good 10 minutes or so. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into some immigration talk, DACA, and so on. We'll circle back to this. It's an interview I did a couple of days ago. We just wanted to make sure we found the right time and place to put it. I speak with Francis Cisna. He's the director of the USCIS, that's United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, part of Homeland Security. And we talk a lot about the border, about DACA, about what the president's plan is, and so on. Make sure you stick around for that. Meantime, back to the phone lines. Let me see where. By the way, Carrie, can you verify any of this?
What's that?
I've got a story that says that there might be an Antifa connection with this guy.
Now,
I've got
I heard a story about that yesterday.
A white supremacy. Might be a white supremacy link.
I can't tell you because Broward County Sheriff had another news conference around 4 o'clock Central Time, and he has said he can't confirm that white supremacist link because a reporter did ask him about that.
Okay. It's interesting because you also hear that he was Hispanic. And then now he's a white Hispanic, which is not really sure why we have to do that. But we know that he was adopted, so we don't really know what his ethnicity is, do we?
I haven't seen anything about that.
Because that's not his original name. That's his adoptive name.
Right.
So I don't know. And again, all of the pieces will start coming together as we go. Yesterday we heard that the people that he shot were targeted by him. Like he knew who he was going after. Have you heard anything new on that?
That I have not. They haven't said anything about that yet.
We're going to get a lot more. We're actively pursuing Pam Bondi, who's the Attorney General in Florida. We hope to have her on tomorrow if we can. So we'll find out more, hopefully, then. I also want to know what the status of this SB 1236 is in Florida. For those who are wondering where you can read more about that, I told you it's on the Florida Senate Gov site, but I will post it over on Twitter and on my Facebook page so you can peruse through that as well. Let me get back to the phone lines and say hi to line three. Is Ken in San Antonio. Ken, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Living the dream, man. Talk to me.
Yes, a solution to this whole problem, I think, at least a partial solution, if not fully solves the problem, electronic card access. Why aren't these schools where you can't get in them without proper, like a swipe card or a swipey? I have them at my work. You know, you swipe, you come in, you swipe a little key, it hangs on my keychain, you swipe the card across the the unit, and the door opens and lets you in. Other than that, you can't get in the building. You can do that.
The only question that I would have, because it's not a bad idea. I can't get into my radio station either without my card. I understand that. Yeah. But having said that, 3,200 people going into the school at one time would probably take 3 or 4 hours to get everybody in if each individual person had to swipe a card before they could open the door. You follow me?
Well, yeah, but there's ways around that. There's, you know, where they, you know, you have people where you can open the door, the doors for, and hold them open while the group of people are going in. But once the people are in and the door shuts, you can't get in unless you swipe a card. You know,
I 100% agree with you on that angle. Classes start, then you have to swipe or you have to do something. I understand completely. The problem is he walked in like he was a regular student, even though he'd been expelled.
When he left, he got rid of his gun,
he walked out, he pretended he was one of the victims. So How do you do that with 3,200? I think that would be the problem. It would just take too long. So how do you solve that problem?
Like I said, I don't think that would be a problem.
Sure it would. If you hold the door, then not everybody's swiping.
If you have people at the doors and when you're letting the large group of people in, and they're monitoring who's going.
How do you identify the bad guy?
Well, usually these people don't show up until after everybody's already in class.
Well, no, he showed up as if he was going to school that day.
You have two access points. You have the gate access and you have the building access.
Okay.
I'm sure if somebody thought about it, they could figure out how to handle a reasonable way to
I'm not saying that it's a bad idea. I'm actually saying it's a good idea. I just don't know how you put it into function without it taking 2 or 3 hours every morning.
It's a starting point.
Well, it's really not. And the reason why it's not a starting point is that if we try to put that in place tomorrow and you have people holding doors for 20 and 30 people at a time, those 20 and 30 people aren't swiping. So I love the idea. I don't know how we do it. All right, brother. No, I appreciate you. And again, I'm not trying to knock down your ideas because they suck. It's a good idea. You know, on the surface, it's a great idea. If everybody had to swipe a card before coming in, that'd be perfect. Carrie, how long do you think it would take 3,200 people to do that?
Oh, a couple hours, I'm imagining.
I mean, it would take a very long time.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? Well, let's put a chip in their body. No. The door can only swing if you hold your hand up. I don't know. I really don't know. I also think that if there were metal detectors, that this guy would have set the metal detector off big time. And then at that point, he's got to make a decision. Do I try to take this gun out, load it, and start shooting people while I have some person in authority saying there's a problem with your duffel bag? So I don't know, logistically speaking, exactly what happened yesterday and when he gained access. But something has to change. That's reasonable. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Michael Berry. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Really a pleasure to have you along for the ride. And a super pleasure to have the USCIS Director, Francis Cisna. Francis, how are you?
I'm all right, Joe.
I really appreciate it. Just so that people understand, it's the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, right?
Correct.
All right, so I got to be honest. I didn't know that there was a director of this specific department, but I guess I probably should have known. Maybe I didn't know it because for 8 years, the Obama administration sort of ignored our immigration laws and the services that they're in. We're in a position now to fix something that the former administration really did mess up. I mean, unconstitutionally kicking the can down the road leaves a lot of people in up in arms. And I'm talking about DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Where are we in getting something done for those who are DACA recipients? And where are we along the same lines in getting something done where we can actually enforce our laws again?
So on DACA, you're right. It's a big mess that our administration and specifically my agency, USCIS, has been left to clean up.
Right.
It's totally unconstitutional. The Attorney General has said so on multiple occasions, and we're trying to shut it down, as the AG said, in an orderly fashion. And that's where we are now on the program. People still have DACA protection, but that's eventually going to end. And what we're looking at is what Congress is doing right now on the Hill. They are debating legislation that we anticipate will address the situation of these, you know, I guess the people who have DACA now and the population of people that are eligible for DACA but may not have gotten it. So we're looking at about 1.8 million people that Congress is going to be trying to legalize.
It's USCIS Director Francis Cisna. What's interesting to me is that there really shouldn't be any diversity in thought when it comes to DACA. DACA, again, unconstitutionally through executive order, the president basically said, don't follow the law. Let's ignore the law when it comes to this specific block of people. And he kicked the can down the road, gave them 2 years, give us a couple of bucks, you can compete, you know, against Americans for jobs, and every 2 years you have to do the same thing. That wasn't a permanent solution. You, the president, this administration, are trying to give these people, nobody is saying send them back, nobody in the administration anyway, is trying to give these people some sort of permanency, some sort of a relief. Why is there argument from the left? Do you know?
No, I mean, you know, what we're trying to do is, well, you know, as you described, this population is a subset of the bigger 11 million, you know, 12 million, whatever it is.
Right.
Of legal aliens. These are people who came here when they were little kids, mostly, brought by their parents, and who've grown up in this country and, you know, consider themselves Americans. And so it's a sympathetic group, and what we're hoping is that Congress devises a solution, a legalization for them that is carefully thought out. We want to make sure that the criteria are tight. You know, criminals aren't allowed to get whatever this legalization is.
Yeah.
You have people who really have demonstrated that you know, they want to be part of this country and are good players. And that's what we want to see. People on the left, you know, they want everybody included in this. There's the sky's the limit. You want practically no limitations, no constraints, no restrictions on this. That's unacceptable. This legalization, if Congress does it, it's got to be tailored to the group that we're talking about.
USCIS Director Cisna, it's great to talk to you. Yeah, it's interesting because they kind of do just want everybody, 11, 12 million, whatever, what's the big deal? And we're talking about American jobs that are being taken by people who willfully broke the law to come here, broke the law to be here, a lot of them breaking the law to work here. I don't understand how you reward somebody like that. But again, these DACA people, the recipients, came here not of their own volition. I don't know how you punish the child along with the parents. Well, why do you think that people who are pro-immigration or pro-illegal immigrants staying here are acting as if the president is saying, I'm ending DACA, they're all going back? You don't think they really believe that, do you? Because the president's been very clear about what he wants to do with the DACA people.
Yeah, I don't understand it myself. The president has been pretty clear for months now, and so was former DHS Secretary Kelly, current Secretary Nielsen. Everybody's been saying the same thing, that we want a permanent solution for this group of people. No one wants to have them be removed. And we've been, the president on down, have all been advocating for Congress to do their job and accomplish what we've been advocating for some time.
In your position, have you been able to talk to any frontline Border Patrol people? The Border Patrol agents, I mean, ICE?
In my position, I have not. I, however, have extensive contact with the leadership at Customs and Border Protection and at ICE.
Well, I've got 13, 14 stations in Texas, and I'm based in Texas. And I'll tell you this, the Border Patrol agents love what this administration is doing, because the previous administration, and I'd love for you to talk about this, actually basically told the Border Patrol, don't do your job. They were prosecuting Border Patrol agents who were doing their jobs. The catch and release was ridiculous. I don't know why we have Border Patrol agents. Now, this group of enforcement, you know, people who love the country, that want to protect the country, want to protect us all, are able to do their jobs again. And I've got to believe that the morale, if nothing else, is through the roof with them. Are you hearing this too?
Oh, yes, I'm hearing that. I mean, the morale at ICE has gone way up because, as you correctly say, none of us were allowed to do our jobs. And this was the same at ICE and at CBP and even at my agency, at USCIS.
Yeah.
We were all under instructions to be as generous as possible with with all sorts of different classes of people who shouldn't be here or who shouldn't be receiving benefits. I will say that, you know, the president letting us do our jobs has been enormous. And you know, one of the, I think one of the main things that we want to keep in mind is if we're allowed to do our jobs, then we can prevent the types of situations that led to the creation of this DACA population in the first place.
Yeah.
If we're allowed to enforce the laws, deny benefits, and do all the things that the law allows us and requires us to do, then we're not going to be here in 20 years with another DACA population of, you know, 500,000 or 1 million people. That's another thing. You know, that's why we want this legislation. If this legislation is done right, and we also plug the loopholes in the law, which are out there, if we plug those loopholes, that'll stop this from happening again. But that's got to happen.
He's the director of the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. It's Francis Cisna. Since the Reagan amnesty of 1986, when the Democrats in Congress said, just do this, we promise, Mr. President, we'll close the border, just do this. I saw a bit of that at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, where the Democrats were going, well, let's just add this to the budget. We'll take care of DACA now, and we promise we'll talk about the wall later. How important a decision was it from this president, President Trump, to say, I love you, but I don't believe you. We're going to have to do it all together.
Absolutely the right decision. Those of us who've been in the immigration field for a while, like me, that lesson of the Reagan amnesty is a bitter lesson. Yeah. That we delayed the enforcement. It never came. It never happened. And we ended up with a big amnesty and no enforcement. And that can't happen this time. We all learned a lot of lessons from 86. And that's one of the biggest ones. It's all going to come at the same time.
And the biggest lesson was what you said earlier, 11 or 12 million people are here illegally now, something the Democrats promised would never happen. It's USCIS Director Francis Cisna. So what does the wall look like? I know that the president is firm. Wall's got to be part of DACA. We've got to secure our borders. If we're a nation, we have to have a border. It has to be a sovereign nation. What does the wall look like? Because people always envision a 20-foot brick wall that's impenetrable. I'm guessing the wall means some fence. The wall means some technology. The wall means physical wall as well. Is all that included, or is it really just going to be a big giant wall?
It's what you just said. It's the way we describe it at DHS is we call it a wall system.
Okay.
So what that means is that in most places you are actually going to have a wall, like everyone understands a wall to look like. And in other places where it's just physically not possible to build a wall, like right. over a lake or you're going to have different technologies that will have the same effect.
Right.
This isn't because we want to dodge building a wall. It's because you can't do it in those places. And in other places, it doesn't make sense. It's financially doesn't make sense to put walls in places where other technology would be just as good. Believe me, no one here at DHS is advocating for any kind of wall system that's not going to be effective. And the president is totally with us. And I would also point out, you know, for those who doubt the prudence of what we're doing, walls work. If you look at what happened in San Diego back in the 80s, where people would just stream across the beach at night,
right.
and the Border Patrol agents would link hands and play Red Rover with illegal aliens, those days are gone. That wall stopped that cold. And, that's what we want to see everywhere across the border.
I heard a number out of San Diego, and this is several years ago, that it decreased illegal crossings by 85%. So the allegation...
It's like 95%.
Oh, is it 95? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
So the allegation that if you build a wall, they're just going to build... If you build a 12-foot wall, they're going to buy 13-foot ladders is just not true. If you put something there as a barrier, it will certainly dissuade people. And listen, I really appreciate the time. It's Director Francis Cisna, USCIS. Last question on this, and it's kind of almost rhetorical, but I definitely want you take on it. People are pretending when we say wall, we mean the Berlin Wall. When we say wall, we mean the Great Wall of China. When we say wall, there won't be any gates or ports or openings for people to legally come across. Is the administration doing a good enough job? Is DHS doing a good enough job in educating the American people that when we say a wall, we still mean Mexico is our friend and we're going to freely travel back and forth. You just have to come through the ports of entry.
That's exactly right. I mean, the president himself said many times, even during the campaign, I remember he talked about the wall, but he also talked about a big, beautiful door.
Right.
And I've always interpreted that to my agency would be the agency that opens and closes that door.
Yeah.
And the way we see it, there's the wall, the physical wall, but then there's another wall behind it. There's a wall of law. And that wall of law is something that's going to keep out the people who are trying to exploit the loopholes right now by just walking through the gate, you know, and claiming some sort of frivolous, case for asylum or something. And then there's people who legitimately, you know, should be able to come in. And that's what we want to be able to foster and support. So those types of reforms, the loopholes and the other things, those are essential too.
Sort of a second part of that, and I promise it is the last question, and I appreciate Francis Cisna, the USCIS director, coming on. Here in South Central Texas, a lot of the local TV stations are doing stories down at the border saying a wall would kill this foliage, a wall would have this problem on this endangered species. Are we looking closely into that to make sure that we don't somehow hurt the environment or the ecology of the area as we do this?
Of course we are. I mean, and I remember those claims going back many years. I remember there were all sorts of endangered species that have to migrate and everything. One of the things is that this administration about us is that we're the good guys. And if we're going to do a wall, we're actually going to follow the law. And all the environmental restrictions, everything's going to be followed squarely. There's not going to be any funny business. We're going to do it right.
It's Director Francis Cisna, USCIS. Thanks a million for your time today.
Sure.
Back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Updating you with the news that matters, coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hey, great to have you, the Joe Pag Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Former President Obama has chimed in now on the Parkland shooting. We will have that for you in just a second. And again, I urge everybody to go and read the tweet that I sent out with SB 1236 in it. And if you live in Florida, you've got to urge your senators to do the right thing for these kids now, for all of the students that are sent to any school in the state of Florida and well beyond. It only makes sense now. When we want to protect somebody that we feel is important, or something we feel is important, we have armed guards. When people are robbing banks too often, the way you stop the robbing of banks is you put an armed guard inside. When you want to protect dignitaries like presidents or former presidents, you have an armed detail there. So what we're saying is, in society, some things are important enough to protect with firearms. Other things aren't. Money is important enough. Our students at school aren't. Presidents and former presidents are important enough. Our legislators are important enough. Our children are not. That's what we're saying. There's no two ways about it. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Want to remind you, in the meantime, about superfoods. You've heard the term superfoods a lot. They're nutritionally dense foods that are especially beneficial to your health. Did you know that beets are one of the most powerful superfoods that you can put into your body? It's true. They're loaded with an important nutrient that increases your blood flow, which increases your energy. But who wants to eat a pile of beets every day? I'm telling you, I'm not a guy who eats beets. But I do take the super beets every morning because it tastes that good. You can get those energy benefits right there in that powerful concentrated superfood drink, super beets. Only super beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. And they promote the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. So if you want the benefits of a powerful superfood, call 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of super beets free, plus indicator strips to see how super beets is working for you, and free shipping too. 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or joelovesbeets.com. Do it right now. Carrie, did you see Obama's tweet on this?
I did.
Here's what the former president says. I don't have it up as a tweet. And guys, I probably won't get to Trump tweets today, although I might. It's going to put it right out there. I still might. I don't want to say no completely yet, but we're running out of time on Newsmax TV. Let me go to, I'm going to put this up on my screen, guys, see if we can let people take a look at it at home. From former President Barack Obama, "We are grieving with Parkland, but we are not powerless. Caring for our kids is our first job, and until we can honestly say that we're doing enough to keep them safe from harm, including long overdue common sense gun safety laws that most Americans want, then we have to change." To which, of course, I responded, which, and my response is not right there. We'll come back to Kerry. Usually the response will be right in the top, but it's not. My response was basically, I agree with you. I agree. Common sense gun laws like SB 1236 in Florida. And I suggested to the former president, Kerry, who is an incredible, I would say incredible campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
I suggested to him that he go to Florida immediately, the Sunshine State, and campaign for SB 1236. Because the very least we can do is offer our children in school the same protections he and his family enjoy 24/7. He hasn't responded yet. Think he'll respond?
I'm going to say no.
Wouldn't that be something if former President Obama showed up on my show? I mean, I don't think he'd ever do it.
It would, yeah. That'd be...
But that would be that'd be pretty remarkable.
It would.
Of course, you know, we've had this president on, and and you know, we've had other world leaders and big names. Why not?
It could happen, yeah.
Show me the error of my thought process that our children deserve the protections your children have. And I don't even mean 24/7. I just mean when you go to school. And by the way, the taxpayers pay for his security detail. And I'm fine with that. He deserves it. Former president. Why can't we have them in school? I don't get it. Let me go to the phone lines. I've only got about a minute, so you got to make it fast, Carol. Make it happen.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm living the dream. I've got a short amount of time.
Okay, real quick. I have a problem with every time we have one of these situations, everybody goes to the gun. My issue is mental health. There is no place for people to go when they have children that are in trouble. You get told, take them to the emergency room. It's not covered in insurance policies, and this is what happens because the parents, the ones that can, and then the child turns 19, he's an adult. So you have absolutely no control over getting him the help he needs. And
Carol, I got to run. It's an interesting thing that you bring up a couple of angles on that. Number one, I'm not an expert on mental health, but I'd have to imagine that it's covered by insurance. I'd be stunned if it's not covered by insurance. And secondly, there are people saying that President Trump signed an executive order or a bill making it easier for the mentally ill to get guns. That's not true. And I'll have that story when we come back. Got to go on TV. We continue on radio. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Yes, indeed. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. The Joe Pags Show coming to you on a Thursday. It's a Joe Pags Thursday is what it is. Let's go.
Well, it's a Thursday.
Uh-huh.
The Joe Pags Show.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's my favorite day.
I know.
One more to go.
Weekend's almost here.
Waiting for the weekend.
Play it.
Ready to go. Oh, but it's a Thursday on the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pags Show.
Come on, bring it now. Oh, yeah. Play that horn, son.
Well, there ain't nothing better than a cold, cold drink. Thursday afternoon gets hot. Oh, but Carrie and Karina drank all my wine. Joe said they drink a lot. I said, hey, hello, what you do with my beer? I left a six-pack.
Everybody.
On a Thursday, on the Joe Pags Show. On a Thursday, I'll take us home now, Joe.
I'm not sure why the hum at the end. Why do we get that at the end, Carrie?
I do not know.
There you go. We're just putting it right out there. The Joe Pags Show. Glad to be on your radio. Glad to be on your computer, wherever the heck you happen to be watching or listening. I tried to trick the Facebook algorithm. It didn't work.
How'd you try to trick it?
You didn't see what I did?
No. What?
I said, let's trick the algorithm. And I put in hashtag climate change, hashtag global warming, hashtag Planned Parenthood, hashtag Hillary Clinton, hashtag social justice. Didn't work.
A lot of hashtags there, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that I would trick them and put a bunch of liberal stuff in there, and then they say, we've got to let this guy go for sure. Mm. Actually, it's jumping through the roof right now.
Oh,
it's starting to go up, so maybe it is working. You never know. People are going, well, let me find out what's going on with social justice. Damn, let me listen to this. Then they're going to leave as soon as they show up, though. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, of course.
There's a lot going on. There is there has been for months now, I guess almost a year, that one of the first things President Donald Trump did was make it easier for mentally ill people to buy guns. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
In fact, let me give you the headline from Time Magazine that was right after, I believe, Sutherland Springs happened. This is in November. The headline is, President Trump blamed the Texas shooting on mental health, but he made it easier for mentally ill people to buy guns. Now, keep in mind, the reason why that bad guy, that piece of garbage, was able to get his hands on guns and buy them legally was because the Air Force screwed up, right?
Yes, that's correct.
They did not report his status and his legal issues.
Right.
He would have been excluded, absolutely. And now, what was it, just last week, like 4,000 people were added to the list of people who should not be able to buy guns, who were previously allowed to buy them legally when they should not have. I mean, the military really did not do a good job of making sure people who shouldn't have been allowed to get them couldn't get them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So really, I mean, that case had nothing to do with what the move that Trump made. But let me tell you what Tessa Berenson wrote in November. President Trump said the Texas church shooting was largely a mental health problem, but at the beginning of his presidency, he rolled back a regulation that would have made it harder for people with histories of mental illness to purchase guns. In February 2017, Trump signed a bill that undid a regulation from Barack Obama, or from Barack Obama's presidency, which said the Social Security Administration would have to report certain mentally ill recipients and people deemed unfit to handle their own financial affairs to the National Background Check Database. NBC reports the Obama administration said the rule would have added 75,000 people or 75,000 names to the database. Well, first of all, the rule never took place. Obama tried to do that rule as a last-second thing before he left, I guess, to add some sort of gun control. But it wasn't about mentally ill people who were taking some sort of psychotropic drug. It wasn't somebody who had some history or pattern of mental illness. This was for people who needed help with their financial situation. So I'm not really sure what the hell they're talking about here. The rule would only impact a person if he or she has been determined to be so severely impaired by a mental condition that he or she is unable to manage his or her own benefits, in which case he or she is already prohibited from purchasing or possessing guns. What? So what did this do then? They already had a condition that prohibited them from purchasing and possessing guns. So what was this about? So let's go to, now then they blame the NRA and everybody else. Now let's go to an actual news source, unlike Time, which is the Washington Examiner. Now it's listed as opinion, but it gives stark evidence of how they're lying about what President Trump did when it came to this legislation. This is from David Fredoso. Congratulations, your donation to the ACLU just helped arm the mentally ill. No, not really. See how a salacious headline can make you go, what happened? If you read the headlines, you might think the U.S. House did something truly horrible yesterday. This is right after the House passed this, and then it ended up being signed by the president. House votes to overturn Obama rule restricting gun sales to the severely mentally ill. Dan Abrams, who we've had on this program, his website called Laws News, House votes to repeal prohibition on guns for people with mental disorders. MSNBC said, House Republicans vote to expand gun access for mentally impaired. The writer writes, so what did the House actually vote on? Well, first of all, it didn't expand anything. Their vote, along with the concurrence of the Senate and the president's signature, will merely prevent a late Obama-era rule from going into effect. So, yeah, so Carrie, that tells me, I mean, unless this guy's on crack, that this never was a law or a rule. It was something that was going to take effect.
Right, that's what it sounds like.
But, right, the House and Senate said, yeah, we don't want that to take effect. Mm-hmm. So nothing actually changed. It's not like Obama changed it and Trump changed it back. That didn't happen. So now no one will be able to buy guns who now couldn't do so as recently as last year under the Brady Bill. Second, the repeal of this rule doesn't allow people to buy guns who've been properly adjudicated by a court of law as mentally ill or unstable. What it prevents is the Social Security Administration from stripping people's rights on the mere grounds that they receive disability for a mental impairment that keeps them from working and use, and if they use a representative payee to help manage their benefits. The Obama-era rule was designed to take away people's rights without due process of law. It would have flagged the names of people who, for example, have an anxiety disorder or depression which keeps them from working and who, as the SSA puts it, need help in managing their personal money affairs. As the many non-political mental health and autism advocacy groups that supported the House action noted, there is no link between these factors and a propensity for violence. More importantly, and this is why the American Civil Liberties Union backed it, the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution states, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. For the same reason, government cannot take gun rights away from people who have been placed on secret terror lists by the authorities and not charged or convicted of crimes. It also cannot take them away from people who have not been deemed mentally unfit for gun ownership by a proper court of law. So let me peel away the layers of the onion, as we like to say these days. Carrie, a lot of people like to say, let's unpack this further.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple of times. Yeah, unpack it.
What's actually happening here? The Fifth Amendment matters. The Second Amendment matters. You may not, as some administration or an administration arm, like Social Security Administration, you cannot deem somebody unfit to own a gun unless they've been properly adjudicated in a court of law. They have due process. What's wrong with that? Why is there an issue here? And what bothers me, Paul, you were saying even TMZ is misreporting this?
Right.
As part of what? As part of a story about what happened in Florida? I mean, why is TMZ, the entertainment website, even on this?
Yeah, well, they were, I guess, mentioned when the president spoke earlier, then they spoke about this, and then they showed President Obama's tweet after.
Okay. And the allegation is that somehow Trump overturned something that was in place by Obama.
Right, and because I guess he was referencing mental health, and they're saying that it's, I guess, worth noting, I think that's how they said it, that he talked about this while he did this.
None of these school shooters, none of these bad guys that go on rampages, none of them would have been covered by this Obama change. And this was just Obama, which he was known to do, look at DACA, making a decision without proper or due process of law, making a decision without any regard to the Constitution. For a guy who is allegedly a constitutional expert and constitutional scholar and constitutional professor, he didn't like the Constitution very much. So now that you know what this mental illness change really is, do you really think that for some reason Trump gets in office and says, you know, I like for a bunch of crazy people, a bunch of nut jobs to go get guns? Does anybody really believe that's what the current president did? And if they do believe that, I'd like to know why you feel that's reasonable. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hi. All right, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It's the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Oh, by the way, the headline of that Washington Examiner story actually is true. Congratulations, your donation to the ACLU just helped arm the mentally ill. No, not really. It's true that that's the way that it could be spun, because the ACLU, which rarely takes a conservative standpoint, was supporting the Fifth Amendment rights of the people that the Social Security Administration was saying, we don't think they should have a gun. That's a lack of due process. Due process means something. So the ACLU actually did the right thing here. And it's funny, when you read the stories, all the lies about how Trump wants the mentally ill to have guns, none of those left-wing stories, those liberal stories from those liberal outlets, none of them are blaming the ACLU, which fought this in court, by the way. Think about that, or supported the move anyway. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to line one. Is Adam in Michigan, been holding a long time. Adam, I appreciate you. What's up?
All right, how you doing there?
I'm living the dream, my friend. Talk to me.
Okay, so, I was watching a special on the television, and basically what he made a good point of that these, say, troubled individuals or whatever the problem may be, that they know that these places like schools they're not allowed to have guns there, and it seems to me like that's generally where they go, and it's kind of like fishing a bowl, and everybody's completely unprotected and vulnerable. When right. Good guys can't have any way to protect against the bad guys, because they're going to bring the guns in regardless.
Right.
And the, you know, as far as gun control, if somebody really wants a gun, there's, oh, I'm not going to name any of the resources, but there was another special that showed exactly the process of somebody basically getting parts online and instructions, pretty simple process, machining skills, a drill press, and they can put themselves together a gun if they're a felon, if they have mental illness. So I don't know the answer, that's for sure, but we probably should maybe try to get some stuff into ideas, plan, execute, and see what happens.
Adam, I appreciate where you're coming from, and I appreciate that, you know, that you're putting it out there. What you've said is all true. Having said that, I have to ask you an off-the-wall question. Has anybody ever said your voice sounds like somebody?
No.
All right, just checking. All right, I appreciate you, Adam, out of Michigan. Love, Adam. Glad he called in. Polo, do you know who I think he sounds like?
I'm going to have one guess. Like
when the phone call started, I thought he was actually doing this voice.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I could be thinking somebody totally different, but.
Well, who do you think?
Well, I was thinking Buffalo Bill.
No. Carrie, any ideas?
I have no idea. Mm-mm.
So I don't know who Buffalo Bill. Who's Buffalo Bill?
Remember from
Can't be Buffalo Bill Cody.
No, from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah.
No, Karina, any idea? Karina's like, I'm not talking to you today. I don't care. Sam, any idea who I think that sounds like?
I think I do. Should I spoil it?
Yes.
Oh,
Tom Waits.
No.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Kind of sound like him though.
I'm gonna give you a genre. Animated series.
Yeah, I already know where you're going now. I don't know his name, but it's from The Family Guy.
The guy sounded just like Chris from Family Guy, the son.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
I could see that.
And I actually thought he was putting a voice in. Now, listen, I know you're still listening and you held for a long time. I'm not insulting you. It's an interesting voice. But that's the first thing that hit me when I heard him speaking. Sam, you watch Family Guy, too. You don't think so?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
come
a little
on,
bit.
Come on, man.
It was pretty good.
I don't know. There was something about it where I actually felt as though it might have been a guy doing the voice. Now, I'm going to say this. I think that guy probably had the voice first, and then they copied him on Family Guy. He probably has a lawsuit in his hands.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure that's what happened.
I didn't get
did
that,
you not
though.
Watch
I did
Family
not get. I know what voice you're talking about, but that wouldn't have been my guess.
The guy who does it was the son of the billion the guy from I can't think of anything right now.
Austin Powers.
Mike Myers, right? Who
Seth Green?
Right, Dr. Evil. He was Dr. Evil's son.
Seth Green
in that movie.
Yeah.
Right, and so he now puts on that voice.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it where I thought the guy was doing the voice. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Here's something interesting. Becky just wrote me an email, and just the first line grabs my attention. Let me read this. Becky just wrote this in. Doesn't say where she is. She probably will in this thing. Let's see here. My daughter is 23 and teaching at a Lutheran university in Eastern Europe, Slovakia. Her students are between 12 and 19. They attend this private school because they hope to come to America and go to college, if possible. My daughter teaches them English and American history. I'm able to talk to her every day. This morning she messaged me and told me how sick she becomes going to class each time there's a mass shooting in these schools, and especially at a house of worship. She says that when this happens, her students come to her and have a million questions. The worst is when her kids ask her why Americans, especially children, have to kill each other. Was there a fight? Why are they so angry with each other? She has no answer for them because she doesn't understand herself. This mom doesn't know what to say either. I miss her terribly, but I hope that she stays and teaches in Europe because it's safer where she is now. That's a horrible thing to think about. The America that isn't safe, the safest country in the world. It is, by the way. I do not feel Europe is safer than America, not by any means. There's an influx and push by ISIS and other radical Islamic terrorist groups to infiltrate Europe. And there's not the same thing happening here because we're so far away. When you've got a million refugees showing up and you have no idea what percentage of them are good and what percentage are bad and you can't vet them at all, the idea that they're safer somehow there is just not true. Do we as Americans ever stop to think about what other countries think of us and how we behave and how we act toward our own people? What would you tell her students? Becky, I want to say this, and I'm guessing that you're listening right now, and if you're not listening right now, then I'll have to email you back. But let me say this, and I mean this. I would offer to talk to your daughter and her students in Slovakia via Skype or something and answer any questions they have. I don't worry about what other countries think of us because I know that the shooter wasn't thinking that as he was killing people. More when we come back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Michael Barron Show.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All right there. Make sure you stop by. I like to give the inside baseball here. I'm not going to name any names because I don't have to. But I just want to get away from the shooting for a second. Then we'll circle back. A lot of you have been holding for a long time. You want to be heard, and that's cool. Karina, do me a favor. Check line two. Make sure he's still there. He's been on for about an hour. And I don't want to go to the line and find it to be empty. Hopefully he's still there. So I have a lot of people on the show all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy having guests on that are interesting. It doesn't even matter if they're known or unknown, famous, not famous. Doesn't matter if they've accomplished a ton, if they have something to offer to my audience and to us. I mean, we like to learn from them, too. And I get, now that the show is expanding and getting bigger, I get requests all the time. And, you know, I get emails all the time, and Sam now handles a lot of the booking. Karina still books some people, too. I book some people. I mean, we all try to get really good guests on. I get an email from a guy that I found to be a very good guest. I don't know, several years ago, had him on. Have since met him. Thought was really just top-notch dude. And then he made some weird, you know, choices in what he does. And hadn't heard from him in a couple of years. Something like that, year and a half, 2 years, something like that. And out of the blue, he writes me an email. I hereby request an appearance on your show to talk about fill in the blank. And it made me laugh because I wrote back. I said, okay, hereby, this is how we talk to each other now. Come on. What's the matter with you? So the next day, and this was like during my show when I got the email. The next day, I get another email from him saying, oh, I guess I'll take your silence or lack of answer as a no or something like that.
Okay, and like, dude.
And then he goes to the juggler and says, I hope your daughter's doing well. I'm like, what?
Seriously?
It was very weird.
What is that about?
So I'm willing to be wrong about this, I took that as meaning, here I am, I helped you get your daughter back, and you can't put me on your radio show.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like.
So if I get into any more of the details, it'll become obvious who I'm talking about, and I don't want to do that. I don't care to. But suffice it to say, this person has made some really dumb moves. When dealing with me specifically and with dealing with his business, in my opinion, and I'm allowed to have that opinion. I mean, from really great opportunities to acting just really off the wall. And then with me, I mean, just really being off the wall. I mean, like emailing me, this was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, emailing me during the show. You got to do this right now. I need you to do this, Pags. I'm like, okay, well, just do me a favor. Promote my Facebook page. And the reaction was, whoa, what do you mean? How dare you? And who do you think? And it's like, do you think that we're related? Do you think you're my father or something? Do you think you're my brother? Do you think I owe you something? It's very, right, very strange, the reaction. So again, I blew it off, and we still have had a relationship since then. And again, hadn't heard from this guy a year and a half, 2 years. And out of the blue, and because I did not immediately answer, not only do I get that sort of thing, but also, basically, the tagline was, I helped you find your daughter. This is the thanks I got.
Yeah. Did you respond?
So I want to make sure that I'm clear about this. I can't tell you how much I appreciate our listenership, our viewership, our following on social media, and so on, that retweeted and reposted and did videos and everything else to help find my daughter when we had our distressing situation. It'll be 2 years ago in July or August. Can't thank you enough. The reality is, as good as that was and as far-reaching as that went, the authorities and I found her, specifically the Border Patrol, the FBI, the Comal County Sheriff. They found her through technology. The tweets and all that did nothing. other than to say, as a community, we can make a big difference. And that's why I'll retweet or I'll post when somebody's missing, provided it's from a real organization that I can verify the person is really missing. I have done that consistently for a year and a half, and I'll continue to do that as the information gets to me. If you send me some post on your friend's website, I can't help you because I can't verify it. But if it's verified, like through a county sheriff or through a police agency, I will absolutely help. And I do believe doing that helps. Don't misunderstand me. But in my specific case, in the case of my daughter, that isn't what found her. What found her was the authorities using modern technology, pinging phones and so on. That's how we pinpointed where she was. Okay? So for anybody to allege that they, like, found my daughter as some sort of a screw you for not having me on your show, that's just dumb. And by the way, probably would have had him back on. He's got a certain expertise on a certain specific topic that I think would be good. And it has always been good before. But to come at somebody like that, and with the weird part about this person, Carrie, he's always, when dealing with me, mm-hmm. acted like there was a sense of entitlement. Even before the Gabby situation, there was some sense of entitlement. Like, I had to do this on this day. I had to promote that at that moment. I had to push this thing at that moment. If I didn't do this, do you want to voice this? You're going to be in this. You're going to be in this. And the whole thing was very, very just screwed up. Mm-hmm. Now, I knocked it off as we immediately had sort of a familial feel to the relationship. I was like, all right, he thinks I'm his brother or something. Maybe that's the story. But this has become extremely weird. And the last thing, because I finally just said, listen, here's your problem. And this is from a guy been in the business 30 years. Here's what you've done wrong. Bam, bam, bam. This is why these people don't work with you anymore. Bam, bam, bam. This is how you don't approach a guy like me. Bam, bam, bam. So don't tell me I should stop everything I'm doing in the middle of my show and book you on the show because you told me you hereby request it. And don't ever, ever act like you found my daughter when she was missing. So the last foray, because the guy is the kind of guy, which is not dissimilar from me, that has to get the last word. The last foray was that I should go blank myself.
Okay.
So I really, when he was emailing me, should have responded immediately. And I should have put him on. I should have dropped everything.
No.
And just handed the show over.
No. It's not how we do things around here.
Are you
sure? No, I'm positive.
Stop it.
No.
What?
No. Mm-mm.
So again, I won't get any more specific than that. I think this is the kind of guy that probably watches and listens to every show I do, probably steals my thoughts when it comes to topics of the day, and I wish him well. I think the guy has the potential to have an amazing career. So far, he shot himself in the foot over and over and over again, and he just did it again yesterday and the day before with me.
Yeah,
and certainly today.
That's it.
I mean, just come on. Yeah,
you're not going to respond.
All right, 1-800-383.
I mean, like, that's
the only response
that
the last response when he told me to whatever myself,
mm-hmm.
He said something about how he contacted me just last year when Gabby came home. And my response was, I just put it in the subject line, she came home almost 2 years ago, idiot.
Oh,
that's the only
thing.
I mean, so again, here's a dude that is completely devoid of understanding of how you have a relationship with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's somebody who either is closed off to somebody's constructive criticism or doesn't believe he needs to improve. And that could be it. Listen, a lot of people listening and watching might be thinking that about me. And I'm open to that.
A lot of people.
I think that you know and Polo knows, and because Polo and I certainly have gone back and forth enough over the years. And you know, others know that I certainly am open to making the show better and taking some advice. And hell, if I didn't take advice, I don't think we'd be expanding like we are, because I had a certain idea of what the show should be 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of molded it into what it is now. And now we're taking off like crazy. Yeah. But you have to certainly have an ego to do what I do and to do what he does.
Of course you do. Of course.
But you can't be closed off to understanding that there are people who are doing better than you in this business and from whom you can probably get great advice on how to do what it is that you think you should do. But if you're so closed off to it and living in your own cocoon that you don't understand, you know, a friendly back and forth via email to where you should never, ever go to a person's family
don't
and allege that you
yeah.
somehow are owed something because of it. Dude, if you don't get that, then we are too far apart.
Yeah.
That we never were friends.
Yeah.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Joseph is in Tomball, which is in the Houston area. Joseph, I appreciate your patience and letting me rant a little bit there. What's on your mind?
Hey, buddy. I've been listening to the argument for 20 years about guns, and I did a paper when I was in college about this.
Yeah, see, you're breaking up, Joseph. Put your face closer to the phone for me, okay?
Yeah, I just did that. How's this? Better?
Great. Okay. Yeah, a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, what I discovered was that media violence and its effect on children is far worse than any loose or strict gun laws. And 20 years ago, the paper went to local ABC and then went national, and then it got canned because it was too controversial, and it affected people's right to buy video games. It was going to force them to have adults, you know, allow them to they had to get permission or had to have a parent buying their video games. But the violence that the kids and the desensitization of the kids starting at that early age gives them a sense of there's no consequence. You don't have to pay because in a second you're going to get another life and you're going to get to play again and you're going to get and if you kill the right amount and you do enough damage, then you get an extra life and you get more chances to kill more. And that's what the media violence children's video games is teaching the kids. And if we don't start when they're kids, babies, we're never going to reach them. And it shows documented after time of kids who got too much of the videos and started having trouble when they were young kids, teenagers, and then finally young adults. And with no intervention, the disaster rate, for lack of a better word, was absolutely 100% guaranteed they were going to have trouble assimilating into our society. And
a couple of things are important, Joe. So first of all, you might be smarter than I am, and I almost guarantee it. So I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but what I'm going to say is this. I play video games. I've played violent video games for a very long time in my life. I understand reality versus fiction. I understand fun versus reality. Mm-hmm. And I cannot comment intelligently on what age makes sense to allow kids to do this. I will tell you this. Growing up, I didn't let my eldest daughters, and Sam is on the line now, and she can verify this. I did not let them watch the TV show Cops. Not until they were 13 years old, 12 or 13. Because I didn't want them to get the wrong idea about black people or about Hispanics, because generally speaking, a lot of people who were being arrested were black or Hispanic. I also didn't want them to be afraid of police officers until I can instill in them an understanding on what it was that they were watching. So I think that people who are smarter than I, and Joseph, there are a lot of them, who are mental health experts, should probably do a study and figure out when is an age old enough for a person to understand the separation between reality and fiction or playtime or a video game. And I don't know that we have a proper enough study that goes there. And I got to run because we're out of time, but I appreciate that. Sam, was it 12 or 13 that I made you and CJ wait till?
I'm pretty sure that it was 13.
Yeah. And you guys were like, can I watch Cops? I mean, for a long time, you were like, oh, Cops is on, I got to get out of here. Because you knew that, and you didn't really know the reasons, but you knew that we had a reason and you listened. And now you watch it, and I don't think you think all whoever's being arrested are bad people. I just think that you see somebody who did something wrong being arrested. I think.
I definitely think that waiting that period was beneficial to me and the, you know, full understanding of everything, really.
And that's what I'm talking about. So, again, we're not experts at parenting. We just try to figure it out as we go. But there are experts in mental health, experts who can figure out, you know, how old does somebody have to be before their brain forms the functionality to understand reality versus fiction. And I think we should probably figure that out. I think there probably is an age. I don't know what it is, but there probably is. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Listen, we're going to keep on trying to work on what solutions might actually work, and I think that we've come to some certain decisions here today that this SB 1236, I haven't heard a lot of arguments against it in Florida, would make a lot of sense. It would also make a lot of sense federally, in every state, although the individual states would have to be okay with it, to allow for people who have a right to concealed carry, who have gone through proper training to do so in school, to be able to at least have a shot, no pun intended, at defending the students, at defending the school, at defending themselves. When you hear about this assistant coach that died trying to save lives, I mean, there's a guy that gave his life for children that he's not even related to. So that's a guy I would like to trust with the ability to at least try to stop the shooter. Not very controversial. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Listen, as we age, the body starts changing. Like, I was at the gym today. Trust me, I can feel my body changing. It's no fun. You sometimes have less energy. You get more fatigued. I don't, because I make sure that I take care of it. You know, this is all about a decrease in your circulation. I found out that if I start giving my body what it needs now, I can promote natural, healthy circulation and keep on feeling great as the years go by. That's why I drink Superbeats. Superbeats promotes the body's own natural ability to produce healthier circulation for increased energy and stamina all day long. Only Superbeats is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to give your body what it needs as you age, call 800-516-8389. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. With your first order, get another 30-day supply of Superbeats free, plus indicator strips to see how Superbeats is working for you, and free shipping too. Again, 800-516-8389 or go online, joelovesbeets.com. Do it right now. All right, we do have a lot of people holding on and not a ton of time. In fact, I'm not going to short shrift you. You've been holding for a very long time. So do me a favor, send me an email. Pags at joepags.com, P-A-G-S at J-O-E-P-A-G-S.com, or you can go to joepags.com, click on Facebook, comment there, click on Twitter, tweet me at Joe Talk Show, click on Instagram if you want to see some pictures and whatever else. But I, again, if I take you right now, you're not going to have enough time, it's going to sound horrible, so let's do some pop culture. Whip! Dirty pop. I pulled to make it happen.
So TMZ is reporting that Jennifer Aniston and her husband Justin Theroux have separated. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't know they were married. I can be honest with you. I'd never heard of the guy before.
Yeah, he's an actor, and I think he's also a writer. I guess they got married back in 2015, so it's only been about, I guess, 2.5 years or so.
There you go. Yeah. Are we upset? Do we care? I had no idea.
I mean,
last I knew, she was thinking about getting back together with Brad Pitt. No, I mean, is that a long time ago?
I don't know. I mean, you know, she's single now, or she will be. So,
wow, and so is he, right?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, who knows? You know,
Carrie, do you care?
Not really. No.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm gonna say no on that either. It's not your fault, Polo. I'm sure that's the biggest thing. Guess what? It's the top trending item on Twitter right now. Yep. Jennifer Aniston. That's how dumb that is. All right, gotta get out of here for Karina, for Sam, for Polo, for Carrie, Joe Pags. Back tomorrow, same time, same place. We'll see you then.
This is the Joe Pags Show.